The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
I want to share with you for the remaining time here what's on my mind this morning in Ephesians 2. As you're turning there, I'll be reading down through verse 5, because that is basically one section here that goes together. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And in parentheses, by grace you are saved. I want to talk to you about what it means to be dead in trespasses and in sins. Now let me say this. What I'm about to share with you is one of the most fundamental teachings of the Scripture. This is not something difficult to understand. It is not what you would refer to as the meat of the word, or something real heady and high-minded, like something about maybe what's going on in the book of Revelation with the different seals being broken and things like that. This is the basic fundamental teaching of the Word of God. This is milk. This is what a baby, if this were food, this would be what you would feed a baby when it's born. Now, understand that if what I speak to you here from the Word of God, if you think to yourself, that seems hard to understand, tell yourself, this is the milk of the Word. And if it seems hard to understand, that means we need to continue to dig in the Word of God. You say, well, because it's a theological concept? No, this is not a theological concept. The Apostle Paul looked at these people after he went through the first chapter of telling them what their blessings were, being predestinated, being chosen, being forgiven, being redeemed, having an inheritance in Christ. He saw where they were trusting in that belief, where they believed what the preachers taught, and he was praying for them, and he brought it all the way back down to the church by saying, Jesus is the head of the very entity that you're involved with, the living organism of the church. And he says, and you, so he speaks directly to the people. This is not some theological concept to be debated in seminaries. This is the Apostle Paul talking to folks like us who are members of the body of Christ. And he looks at them and he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead. So don't look at this as some heady concept. It's not heady. It's the basic fundamental teaching of the Word of God. And Paul, without hesitation, without any equivocation, he turns to them after he says that Christ is the one that has filled all in all in the church. And he says, and you who are members of his church were dead in trespasses and in sins. But something happened to you, and it's called the quickening. Now, there's several different descriptions in the Scripture about what it means to be quickened. He says, and you hath he quickened. He says that twice. He says in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. If it's spoken one time, it's important. It's mentioned twice. Now, in the Scripture, you will find that there are different descriptions of being quickened. In John, the third chapter, being quickened is referred to as being born again. Jesus says that every child of God is born again the same way. Now, there's been in times past, people have said, put forth and said, there's an age of accountability. You know, you're not responsible and you would automatically go to heaven if you died up to a certain age because you're not responsible. Well, that it used to be like 12 years old. And over the years, they lowered that because they saw how wicked little kids could be. You know, just, man, we better lower it down to 6. We better lower it down to 1, or we better lower it down to 6 months. Listen, there's no such thing as in the modern term thinking of as an age of accountability. Now, let me say this. There is an age of accountability, and it is at conception. When a person is conceived in the womb, they take on the nature of their parents who took on the nature of Adam who sinned in the Garden of Eden. Somebody says, well, that's not fair. Well, you just have to take that up with Adam when you see him. You're not going to see him until you get to heaven, though. When you are conceived, when a child is conceived, they take on that nature. And they are accountable because they have that nature. The reason I tell you that is because it is important to understand the necessity of a child of God being born again. It must happen in the life of a child of God. And don't wring your hands or worry. I'm telling you, if you're sitting there wringing your hands and worried about that, it means you're already born again. Because the wicked don't worry about it. Somebody who doesn't have the Spirit of God, someone who is dead in sins, doesn't even care. The descriptions in the Bible about being quickened, it says it's like a birth. Jesus also described it. He described it as born again in John 3. And he also said it's like the wind. And the wind blows where it pleases. It does what the wind is sovereign. You don't tell the wind what to do. Did any of you go out there last night when that big wind came through and try to direct that wind away? Be gone. That's absurd, isn't it? And I, you know, for the life of me, I don't understand the folks that go and get close to these tornadoes and film them. If you've never seen one of them go the other way. No, what are they doing? When it comes their way, they're running and hiding. Well, I mean, the halfway smart ones are. Some of them just still stand there, you know, in video. Okay. You don't tell the wind what to do. And so you don't tell God when and where to born again a child of God. And Jesus gives you a beautiful rule, an absolute rule in John the 3rd chapter. He says, everyone is born again the same way. You don't have a born again for an aborted child in the womb. You don't have a born again for a toddler. You don't have a different way to be born again for a 12-year-old. You don't have a different way to be born again for a middle age or for one near the end of their life. It's across the board without exception. There are no exceptions to that rule. Everybody's born again the same way. Somebody says, well, I didn't grow up hearing that. You know, you got to do this. You got to do that. Well, let me just say this. It's consistent, isn't it? If everybody's born again the same way, you can't deny that that's consistent. And that ties directly into what Brother Luke was telling us this morning about our eternal salvation. Let me tell you, it has to be that way or nobody's going to heaven. Why? Because we're dead in sins. The word dead there means necro, is the Greek word necros. That's an ugly word, necros. And it means a corpse. And it can be literal or figurative. And when it comes to being dead in trespasses and in sins, it is a figurative way to look at our condition. It doesn't mean that a physical body is dead. It means that the person who is living in a living physical body is dead in trespasses and in sins. They have no understanding that they need God. I mean, think about somebody that's dead. Think about it now. Be realistic. If you've been to the funeral home, and you've gone and you've viewed that body, you've been to a funeral and you've viewed that body. You know, the body's lifeless and cold. It doesn't speak to you. It doesn't think. It doesn't blink its eyes. Does the body itself laying there, does that body that has no more spirit in it, the spirit has left that body, does it know that it's dead? Can you poke that body and say, hey, did you know you're dead? If that body says, yep, you better talk to the mortician. Because somebody made a mistake. I am claustrophobic. I'm claustrophobic. And if you buried me in a box and I was alive or woke up. As a matter of fact, there was a book of fiction, a story of fiction I read several years ago. It was about a man being buried alive. It was a fiction, but it terrified me. Yesterday, we were riding around and we came across an open well about 90 feet deep. Very scary, about this big around, an old well that was dug years ago. And we dropped rocks down in there, and you could hear it hit way down. And then we went home and got a spotlight, and it was getting dark. And so we shined that spotlight down. And I mean, that thing was 90 feet deep. And it just began to cringe, close in on me. I was thinking, what if I'm at the bottom of that well? Looking up, and all you see was that one little hole. I mean, don't put me under the ground alive. But how many times have you heard knocking from the inside of the coffin as they buried somebody? I used to always hang around when we would bury folks over at Zion Primitive Baptist Church Cemetery. In my days, we were the grave diggers. There would be 30 or 40 people come from the community, and we would dig the graves. And we would also fill in the graves. We would cover up the casket after somebody was buried. We would be hanging around. We'd roll our shirt sleeves up, summertime, wintertime, whatever. And maybe bring a pair of work boots and slip off our dress shoes, put on our work boots, and we'd start shoveling dirt on top until we filled it up. And I'm not saying I enjoyed that, but I always felt a great measure of respect in paying that final respect. As a matter of fact, I did that with a few of my relatives just because I felt like that's what they would do with me if that had been me. But never did anybody knock from the inside of that casket and say, stop, because the dead body that's being buried in the ground does not know that it's being buried in the ground. Do y'all believe that common sense? And the one who is dead in trespasses and sins does not know that they're dead in trespasses and sins, just like a dead body doesn't know it's being buried in the ground. It takes being quickened or touched by the Spirit of God and made alive before you could ever even have a desire for God. That is so important to understand. It's so fundamental. It is not something that Paul said, now listen, I'm going to give you something that's kind of hard to understand here, but I'm going to have to give it to you anyway. You're going to have to digest it over time. He just goes right on. This is what he taught them when he first preached to them. This is what he instructed them in the book when he wrote back. This is what we need to understand so we can appreciate what we were. Dead means dead. It's described as being washed in Titus 3. It's described as being born again. It's described as being quickened. It's described as being washed. Here in Ephesians 2 and 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created. It's described as a creation. Did you know that there are all kinds of Christian believers out there today that will not have a physical evolution in any form or fashion? And I won't either. I won't have it. There's no such thing as physical evolution. It's a theory. There's nothing to it. It is Satan's way to try to bend your mind away from God's true teaching about creation. There's all kind of Christian people out there today that will not have a physical evolution in any form or fashion, but they'll have spiritual evolution all day long. Because they'll say that a man's got a little bit of seed of goodness in him and he'll just eventually maybe evolve if he makes the right choices and is in the right environment. He'll evolve into a Christian. We don't believe in physical evolution and we don't believe in spiritual evolution. The Word of God doesn't teach it. It teaches that man was dead in trespasses and in sins. And I want you to understand also that this is something that is distinct from being called in the gospel. In other words, a lot of folks will say, well, when you respond to the gospel call, you've been born again. That's not what the Bible teaches. The only way you can respond to what the preacher is preaching or the gospel call to follow the Lord is if you've got life and understanding spiritually to follow. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, it says that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They don't have a receiver in them to receive what God speaks. It says when we're born again, we receive the Spirit of God. Does not say that we accept. There's nowhere in the Scripture that says anything about us accepting Christ or accepting salvation. But it very often says that we receive. What's the difference? Can we agree that this vase right here did not accept these flowers that are in it? Can we agree? The vase, you didn't say, whoever put them in there, vase, would you like to accept these flowers as your personal flowers? The vase didn't do that. So the vase cannot accept, say, no, I refuse. I reject these flowers. It has no voice. It cannot accept these flowers. But it can receive them all day long. Take them out, put another set in. Take them out, put another set in. That's receiving. You say, well, I don't quite get the difference between accepting and receiving. The difference between being able to accept something and the difference between receiving something is that something is dead. That's the difference. Something that is dead cannot accept. But something that is dead can receive because an outside force comes and acts on it and imposes itself upon it. Those flowers were imposed upon that vase, whether it wanted it or not. And there's not even a wanting it or not there. See, it's dead. Whenever I strapped my granddaddy's last watch, I used to set his watches. You know, his fingers were so big and gnarled that he couldn't do it. And the last time I went, I took that watch off of his dresser at home. I said, I'm going to set his watch one last time. And that thing will go off every day at 4:30 in the grave. Why? When they buried him. So it was just my little thing, you know. He and I had that for years. Set my watch, son. He couldn't do it. So I took his last watch that was laying on the dresser there at home the day he was buried. And I stayed there last in there with the body when the family began to go out. And I slipped up there and I took that watch and I put that watch on his arm. Made sure it was set and covered his sleeve up. Walked away. And granddaddy didn't look at me and go, son, I don't want that watch on. I don't want that watch waking me up 6 feet under the ground. He was dead. He had no ability to accept that. You see, I imposed myself upon him
and his dead hand and put that watch on him and closed it up and had it set, he had no ability to say, I don't want that. He's dead. Do y'all understand that? But he received it. Oh, the difference between accepting and receive is paramount for the child of God. And if you want to know why so many folks out there today said you need to accept Christ, you need to accept, you need to do this, that's why. It's a misunderstanding of what it means to accept something and what it means to receive something. Something that is dead can never accept. But something that is dead can certainly receive. Because God imposes His will upon that dead something. So it means not born of the Spirit. Now think about it. You need to get comfortable with that term about being dead in trespasses and in sins. If you're alive and spiritually this morning, that means God's already touched you, of course. But over and over, like in 1 John 3:14, he says, we know we have passed from half dead, sort of dead. He says, we know we have passed from death unto life because we accepted Christ and let him into our heart. We did some kind of, performed some kind of act. No, he says, because we love the brethren. So if you have love in your heart, you say, well, wait a minute, where did that love come from? 1 John says, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. You can't take credit for the love. You can't take credit for the act. You can only give praise to God. The reason I love, the reason I act in love is because I have passed from death unto life. Amen. John 5 and 25, he says this. He says, the time is now that the children of God hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Understand what he's saying there, that when that's another description of being quickened. It's God's voice speaking to the heart and saying, live. That is what it is. The Spirit going into the heart is the still small voice of God that speaks to the heart and says, live. Jesus said, don't marvel at that. Don't be amazed that it's God that causes that to happen. You see, if you need to live, what does that mean? It means you're dead. If you need life, it means you're dead. Colossians 2:13, which is the companion book to this, says it like this. Listen to Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your sins, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So we need to understand our condition. And what we are like in being dead. It's a terrible condition to be dead, especially when you don't even know that you're dead. The examples in the Word of God, which we have used many times, are so clear, so abundantly clear about what it means to be born again. You can read about, you say, how can we be sure that the same way a person is born again applies to the infant all the way up to the old person? Because the Scripture gives you example after example of that. John the Baptist, as we've said many times, was born again in his mother's womb. So you don't have to fret or worry over some abortioner's knife murdering a little child in the womb because God is able to reach the womb before the knife does. How do we know that? Because Gabriel told Zacharias, he says that John would be born again and filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. God's not bound. See, God can reach into the womb and born a child again. Before they have an untimely death like an abortion or like a miscarriage or being stillborn, God can reach that child. Isn't that good news? God can reach the toddler who hadn't been able to really form his sentences real good. David said he was made to hope upon his mother's breast in the psalm. He was given a spiritual heart while he was just a little toddler, just mumbling his words around. But how did he know that? Because God revealed that to him. I don't know when I was born again. I didn't have a Paul experience. I've always loved the Lord. I've always felt sorry when I did bad things. And when I did things and I got caught, I felt bad and sorry for my sins. Maybe I was like John the Baptist. Maybe, and I don't mean like him. I mean, maybe I was born again at the same time that he was. Maybe I was born again like David was as a toddler. I just always remember loving the Lord and feeling convicted over my sins. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you got somebody like Elder Martin Agnani, who was just here a few weeks ago that we visited with. And I keep going back to this. It's so important. Brother Martin, who was abusive to his wife for many years and abused alcohol for many years, he was physically abusive and verbally. He tells this in his own testimony. And he was physically and verbally abusive to his dear wife, who he had two or three children, two children with at that time. He went to bed one night He gets up the next morning, and the first thought on his mind is he feels sorry for his wife. What happened to Brother Martin? Well, it sounds to me like he was born again in his sleep. How? That's crazy, isn't it? But it involves a decision for me, right? Not according to the scripture. Now, you have decisions to make as a born-again child of God, to follow the Lord, to not follow the Lord. Those are decisions that you make that affect your timely existence. But the very platform, the very foundation on which you have to make that decision is because God has already touched your heart. He's born you again. Brother Martin sounds like he was born again in his sleep. That's just, can you picture that? Can you, in your mind, physically picture that him lying there? I've done that several times. Him lying there asleep. Maybe he's still hungover. And he's lying there in his sleep. And here comes the Spirit of God creeping in that room. I'm fixing to get him. Whoosh! Comes into his heart. And if you've been told all of your life that the Lord's knocking on the door of your heart and he can't get in unless you let him, I can assure you there's not a line in the scripture found like that. God that created the universe, God that parted the waters, God who stayed on the cross until the final full penalty was paid for our sins, and then he gave up the ghost, and then he took himself back up again by the Spirit of God and conquered death. He can't get into your little heart. Don't give me that. He can go anywhere he wants and do anything he pleases because he's God. And Brother Martin, I can just picture him laying there, and there comes the Spirit of God and flows into his heart, speaks to his heart while he's in his sleep. And he wakes up the next morning. He's a born-again child of God. He's thinking different. He's got something in his mind. I feel sorry for my wife, whereas I didn't care a thing about her before this point. Who gets the glory for that? Who gets the credit for that? Because that's what it comes down to. God gets the glory. God gets the credit. Paul on the road to Damascus going to kill and murder Christians. Let's ask Paul. Let's interview Paul. Okay, brother. Well, he was Saul then. Brother Saul, let's see. You were on the way. You had death warrants. Yes, that's right. You had arrest warrants for Christians. Yes. And you were going to testify to their death as you did with Stephen, correct? Yes, that's right. And there you were on the road to Damascus and something happened. Yes, that's right. So God came up to you and began to knock on the door of your heart and say, oh, please, Paul, let me in. Oh, let me in, Paul. No, that's not the way it happened at all, Paul says. I was walking along, Paul says, according to the scripture, and a great light shone, and he fell to the ground, and he cried out, and he said, when the voice said to spoke to him, he said, who art thou, Lord? Didn't even know the name of Jesus. And then some startling information came to Paul. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Can't you? That was a gulp, by the way. Can't you just hear Paul gulping? Oh my goodness, I'm toast. I'm fixing to be eradicated. He says, what wilt thou have me to do? He was ready, wasn't he? Whereas he was ready to kill Christians, now he's ready to go and preach to Christians. How would you feel if a loved one that you love dearly was brought back from the dead? How would you feel? How would you feel if somebody that you love, if my granddaddy walked to the door right now? I can't describe to you how I would feel. If Granddaddy Springer or Granddaddy McCool or any of those that have gone before came walking in, you'd hear a shout ring up from me and I'd come over this pulpit trying to get to them. I would be so happy to see them and joyful. And yet you, child of God, you have been brought back from the dead, from being dead in trespasses and in sins. If you've always loved the Lord and always felt sorry for your sins, it means maybe you were like me or John the Baptist or David, born again very early in your life. If you have had a Paul experience or a Brother Martin experience or maybe even a thief on the cross experience, oh, praise God, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And the only one that gets glory for that, the only one that can have the credit for that is God himself, because he's the only one that can bring back something from the dead. Amen. Isn't that glorious? And Paul said, he didn't want you to forget. He says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. In verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And there's that parenthesis. By grace you are saved. You see, grace can only be grace if God does it all. That's the only way grace is grace. If you participate or you put 1%, half of 1% in, it's not grace anymore. So the conclusion that we reach, if when we embrace that milk of the Word, that basic fundamental doctrine, is you can look at yourself and you can say, I was dead in sins and God has given me life. Praise be to God. I hope you see yourself. I can't make you see yourself. I can just tell you what the Word of God says you ought to see in yourself. And that is a dead sinner, quickened and made alive, born again, called by the Spirit, resurrected in heart, created in Christ. And it's like one coming back from the dead. If your loved one who was dead walked in here today, you would rejoice. You'd go crazy. And when you look in the mirror, you need to look at yourself and say, I was dead, and God has given me life. May He be praised.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.